Good morning, everyone. How are we? Am I turned on? Yeah, good. Hey, welcome to Liz and Matt today. Fresh from Lake Grace. I've driven that road so many times in a service truck. That's my old stomping ground. So it's good to see you guys. And Bible reading today is Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of the many words. But do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. How cool is that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you're hearing us right now, that you're looking down on us. Thank you for that time of singing worship and praises to you, Lord. I just thank you for that. It breaks something in our lives when we worship you, and we thank you for that. We pray, Holy Spirit, we welcome you now into this space to touch our lives, not with clever words, but with revelation into our hearts. We thank you for this church, Lord. We thank you for where we are, for what you're teaching us, for the opportunities that we've heard about already today. Lord, continue to help us to walk holding your hand and seeing your opportunities and relying on your strength. And so today, as we talk about this area of prayer, I pray, Father, that it won't be just another ho-hum message, but it might help us to dig deeper into you with this crucial conversation, in Jesus' name. Amen. So there was three guys playing golf. There's a doctor, there's a priest, and there's an engineer. And they've just finished their first hole, and usually it's an Irishman and Englishman. This is an engineer today. So anyway, they're at the golf course and they've just played their first round and they're waiting for the next hole to become available. And it seems like they're waiting for ages. And the greenkeeper comes up and is really apologetic and like they're frustrated, particularly the engineer. Anyway, and he said, what is the problem? And the groundskeeper said, look, we're really sorry. They're actually a group, three blind firefighters ahead of you that are playing golf. And, you know, they're just getting themselves organised. And they were a bit perplexed by that. But what's with the three blind firefighters? Well, we had a fire in the club room a couple of weeks ago and they came and fought the fire, and because of the dangerous smoke and the chemicals, they're now blind. So we actually said to them, come back and have a game of golf. We want to thank you for your service. So they're here. And the priest, his response was, well, that's so sad. I'm going to pray for him. And then the doctor says, oh, wow, that's terrible. I wonder if there's anything I can do to help. And the engineer, what does the engineer say? Why don't they play at night? Always the pragmatist. I was thinking about that whole thing of prayer. And, you know, prayer can be just that thing, I'll pray for them. That can be a trite response, yeah? How many of us have ever said that, I'll pray for you, and we don't? Shame on us. Or it can be also just something that we do as the thing when things are unraveling, we just latch hold of it. It's the emergency rope that we hold on to. Or, you know, it can be just a religious duty as well. But when you read the book of Matthew, it's really interesting. I'd encourage you to read it. I've been reading through. Like, you get Jesus' birth, and then in chapter 3, he's baptized. And then going into chapter 4, he goes into the wilderness, and he's fasting for 40 days. He's tempted. And then he comes out of the wilderness, and he presents himself as the King of Kings. Now, remember, he is speaking to a group of Jewish people who had been waiting for years and years and years for the promised Messiah to come. And so they have this expectation. The whole nation of Israel has built its value and its heart around God and around this coming king coming. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. He's referring to himself. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus, the Messiah, has come. From that time on, he began to preach about the kingdom of heaven. He said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. And so he's starting to talk about his kingdom and how that's going to look and how God's people, the Jewish people, are now to live and what they're to do. And in fact, verse 18 goes on, and of chapter 4, he calls his first disciples, those to follow after him. And then 4:23, he starts healing the sick. And then in chapter 5, we get his first sermon. Jason, do you remember your first sermon?
Yes,
it was a memorable moment. I remember my first sermon I ever preached. It was at Hay Community Church in the New South Wales on a college back in the 90s, a college in the 80s actually, a college field trip. It was a memorable moment for them and for me, I think. But Jesus' first sermon, this is the big splash. This is the big introduction for the person who's pronouncing himself king. And what does he talk about? He goes straight into kingdom living. And one commentator said this about Jesus' first sermon. He said, the Sermon on the Mount, which is chapter 5 of Matthew, is in effect the King Jesus' inaugural address, explaining the countercultural values that God's kingdom people will now have to live by. Do you get that? So the Jewish people have been doing one thing. Now Jesus presents himself. He says, no, it's not like that. It's like this. Let me show you. And so chapter 6 is devoted to all these issues of practical living and, divorce and remarriage and a whole range of different things. And then in chapter 6, verses 5 to 8, he talks about three specific religious activities that the Jewish people often engage in. One was giving, one was prayer, and one was fasting. And he chooses to refocus them on what it was to be a true follower of God and what devotion actually looked like. You see, some of these things had been distorted, they'd been forgotten, they'd been abused, or just ignored. And the one I want to focus on today is this thing of prayer. Because remember, he's saying to this group of people that were wanting to be kingdom followers of God, that if you want to pray, you need to do it differently. And there's four things that I want to share with you today about Jesus' idea of what prayers need to be. Because he's saying, in effect, that this is a crucial conversation that we need to have with God. And so here's the first thing. Prayer isn't just a religious activity, but rather it's the conduit for a relationship. Look at verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love standing in the synagogues, in the street corners, to be seen by others. So there was this sense of ignorance, misguided activity, that prayer had become something that would be self-promoting. It would be something that they could do to impress others. One person said that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, had become guilty of vain glory and vain repetition. You see, something had gone sideways in their view of what it was to speak to God. And Jesus is saying, as God's kingdom people, you need to do this differently. And it's actually not just a religious activity, it's actually a conduit to relationship. Many years ago, I remember sitting on a header during harvest with a guy. Was back in the 80s. We're having a bit of a time warp today. And it was just a pastoral visit. And he wasn't in the church, but I was just used to visit him and sitting on the header with him. And we're doing laps. And he started to share with me. And he said, oh, kids have just gone to college. And it's just me and the wife now at home. And then he started to share how lonely he was feeling about that idea. And then he started to just talk generally about the state of their marriage, that it wasn't great, that it wasn't that anything bad had happened, but they'd become like ships in the night. Their whole energies had gone into raising their children, and now their kids were gone, and it was just them, the two of them. He said that he'd actually moved into his own room a couple of years before because he had a sleep machine. It was disturbing her. Nothing bad had happened, but he said, when we were first married, we just used to do everything together, and now we're just ships in the night. This is a familiar story, by the way. And we talked and we talked and we talked. And he just said, we've become independent. So here's a question for you. You're sitting in the header. What would you say to him? What would be your bit of advice? Move back into the same bedroom? Maybe that could be a start. I don't know. Well, come on. Let's get some ideas. Thank you. Start talking to each other. Because, you know, at the basis of any relationship is communication. Do you know the difference between an acquaintance and a friend? An acquaintance is someone that we have superficial conversations with about practical things. Like, people we work with might be acquaintances. But what do with our friends? We share our hearts, we share our lives, we share our fears and our failings. And that's what he says about prayer. He's saying, don't be like that and use this as a staging block to be self-promoting. It's actually not that at all. It's actually fundamentally about a relationship. When you pray, do this. So the second thing that he says in verse 6 is that prayer isn't just informing God, but it's actually inviting God into our world. Who's guilty of that? You know, we have the shopping list and we start praying and we just rattle off all these things that we want to tell God about. But listen to what verse 6 says. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The word there, room, that is used is actually the Greek word for storeroom. Maybe we could use the word pantry. And why did he pick that word? Because in Jewish houses at that time, it was probably one of the few rooms in the house that had a door. Now, here's another question for you. Why is he saying to go into a room and shut the door? Sorry?
Privacy.
Exactly. So this is going to be an intimate conversation, yeah? This is going to be him pouring his heart out. This is going to be him pouring out his fears, sharing the frustrations, discussing his thoughts, seeking counsel. This isn't something that belongs on the public square, but this is a personal, intimate relationship between a child and God, a private conversation. It's not about us informing God, but inviting God into our world. I really like that. And you know what I found over the years is, when things aren't going good, sometimes just sitting with a friend and having a good conversation can fix a lot of stuff. Who finds that? Yeah? Imagine, you know, if that's at one level here, imagine what it is, and when we forget this, that when things aren't doing good, we actually have a conversation in a private room with the Father. Imagine the extra value that would be for us. Martin Luther said this. He said, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. I haven't done that yet. Maybe I have. I don't know. But it's a conversation. It's where you go with your thoughts. It's that private retreating. I've sat in airports and had that pantry experience with my headphones on. I've been in coffee shops, looking out of a window, been under a tree. You don't have to have a room, but it's that space where you go to reflect and hear from God. Private conversations, pouring your heart out, involving Him. And I just thought this morning that it would be a really cool thing. Because, you know, there's so many amazing things. I've invited a few of our people up. So Sue, Jason and Anna, I'm going to get you guys to come up. And we just want to do that right now. We want to invite God into some of the spaces of our church. We want to be thankful. So come on up, don't be shy. Here they come. Give them a hand. It was a bit like Deanne said, come on up, and our next contestant is, where's the microphone? So come on over here and don't be shy. Come on over here. So you're going to pray for our two things that are really cool that are happening in your space.
Ooh, Orange, and they're digging for wisdom out the back.
Yep.
The kids. And there's some really cool things happening with the youth. They're up at Explores having Milo.
Yeah.
And donuts.
And Jason, maybe you could share when you come up to in 2 seconds about young adults, some of the great conversations that are happening there. But why don't you pray for that group of people now? Come on.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for the many blessings you've given us, for our children, for the young ones, for the young adults, for our teenagers, Lord. They are such a blessing. And we remember, Lord, that you pray in Matthew, let the children come to me and do not stop them because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So our kids are everything to us, Lord. We just pray thanks for the leaders and the helpers, for the young helpers and the older leaders. We just pray for their servant hearts, Lord. We pray for the young ones, for the children, the adolescents and the young adults. We pray for all of them, Lord, that they might invite you into their hearts and their lives, and that we are able to help them build bigger and stronger and loving relationships with you, Lord. We give thanks for all that you do in our lives and with our children, the younger children and the older ones. And Lord, you are so awesome. We just give thanks and praise. And we also pray, Lord, that if there was a next-gen pastor out there twiddling their thumbs, I would love to come and join us, Lord. We know you have that in hand. We just pray, Lord, that you open our hearts and minds to that possibility. We pray these things in your great and glorious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Sue. And Jason, tell us in 2 seconds, you had some amazing conversations the other night at Young Adults. What was the topic?
The topic was...
Maybe you hold it up a bit.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
So the topic was God's sovereignty.
Just a light subject.
Yeah, and our free will. Yeah. So we came to the conclusion that we don't have free will. It's but it was an excellent discussion. And I was I think I might have been more encouraged than everybody else there. It was a good discussion. I was really encouraged. I think the intellect and the potential of the young adults on a Wednesday I was just blown away.
So you said one of the guys there actually owned a position that didn't believe there was a God, and you had some really engaging conversations.
Yeah, that's right. So one of the fellows there, yes, he's an atheist. He doesn't believe that there is a God. And I was impressed philosophically from his standpoint. So I understood where he was coming from. I understood his perspective. But even though he stood on the opposite side of the fence, it was well thought through. I can see problems. There's real problems in that sort of worldview. But still, to see somebody at that age thinking through what they believe, even though I believe incorrectly, is still very, very important and something that we can...
And being mature enough to engage other...
Exactly, yeah. So the environment was good enough and healthy enough that this could be engaged and talked about without causing offence to others as well. It was a really good space.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Why don't you pray for those guys? I said to you to pray for our outreach ministries, yes, and all of those sorts of things. Thank you. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, again, we just pray for the young adults. We pray for that space. We pray for this church here, the body of Christ. We pray for the outreach ministries. We pray for Blokes. We pray for Toddler Jam. We pray for Parky Care. We ask you, Lord, that you would give us the wisdom and the insight so that we would be your hands and your feet in this area, in this community. Please empower us. Please increase our love for you.
Yeah.
And for those around us who do not know you, may they come to know you.
Yeah.
May they come to know the one and only true King and God, Jesus Christ, our Lord,
yeah,
our Heavenly Father, and be empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name.
Yeah, amen. Thank you so much. You and Sue can sit down. And Anna, come on over. So Anna's a mum and a grandma.
Correct.
Yeah. And I've asked you to pray for our families and our services and some of that sort of stuff.
Yep.
What's some good things that have been happening that you've seen in ministry lately? Put you on the spot.
Absolutely put me on the spot.
Yeah.
I think for me and for Jay probably, a huge blessing for us has been our involvement in our Bible study group, our journey group. Mm. Just the building of deeper connections, the prayer support, the love, the walking through different difficult times and rejoicing together, I think has been such a blessing. So
yeah, well done.
Yeah, that's huge for us.
Won't you pray? Thank you.
Absolutely. Our great Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for Sunday mornings, Lord. Thank you that we can come together as your family and we can worship you. Lord, thank you that we can count on the fact that when two or more are gathered in your name, Lord, you're here with us and we believe that. Lord, thank you that we can worship you, we can hear from your word. Lord, we thank you for families. We thank you that you've created us to be in family relationships. Father, thank you for this church being a family for those who call it home. Lord, we thank you for the volunteers that come week after week and work and serve for your glory. We pray that you would bless them, Father. We pray that you would call more people to find a place where they can serve and belong. And Lord, we do pray for our families. We pray for our children and our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents. Lord, we just thank you that you are a God of all generations. And so we do commit our people to you. We thank you for the work that you're doing here. And we ask you to continue to bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Anna. That was great. That was a cool thing to do, wasn't it? Just to pause and to be thankful for stuff. Prayer isn't a painful activity, it's actually a powerful moment, and there's so many things that we can bring to prayer. And you know, as we lead towards our members meeting next week and also this community forum that we're doing, I really want to encourage you to be prayerful. We're at an exciting stage where we're thinking about what are the next steps that we're going to take. You know, we've had strategic plans in the past, but we're a different church now than where we were. We're in a different culture. Things have been turned upside down with COVID. Churches everywhere are struggling with the same issues, with commitment, with attendance, with what now ministry looks like, with the whole family's age group has just dissipated. And these are some of the things that we can take to God, because these, you know, Jesus wants to build his kingdom and he's called us to do that. And we're not going to lie down and say that's just how things are. We want to go to God in prayer, and we want to make thoughtful plans about how we can better engage this space that is just so difficult. Third thing about prayer, and I'm wrapping up now. I've just got one more after this. So I'll keep it tight. So prayer is not just words in the air, but it's worship to God. Look at verse 7. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. And literally what was happening here was these people used to pray, the pagans, and they would just be throwing out names of their gods in hope that maybe one of them was listening and maybe that one of them might engage in the problems that they had. So you can just imagine it, like they're praying away and they're trying to remember the names and, well, I hope he's there, I hope he's online, I hope he's getting it. And Jesus is saying, you don't need to do that. Listen to what Jesus says about the prayer, specifically about the prayer of God's kingdom person, that it's not done in vain, that it's not done to some nebulous possibility who may be listening, but rather a given reality waiting. Listen to these words. Then Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Our Father. Intimacy, connection. Who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, not just words babbled into space, but a moment of worship. Our Father who art in heaven. And worship just breaks so many things. God doesn't care about the length of your prayers. He doesn't care about the eloquence of your words. He doesn't care about any of that, but he cares about the heart that you bring. And you know, through the centuries, countless followers of Jesus, kingdom people have prayed prayers in many different places when they're in difficult places. And it breaks their worry and turns it into worship. Paul prayed when he was in a dungeon. Daniel prayed in a cave. Peter prayed on the surface of the water and then under the water. And also Jonah prayed in the belly of a fish. But the main thing was that he prayed, and we get to do the same as that. Regardless of where we are, we get to pray. God isn't interested in our posture or our volume, but the activity and the heart of prayer. And then finally, prayer is not just something we do, but it is the solution. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows. Underline, Father knows. Father knows. I love that. In fact, he knows what you need before you even ask. And what this is talking about is when we pray, it changes our disposition from wanting, wanting, wanting to depending, depending, depending. Ruth was telling me this last week about a book fair that they have every year at Swan Christian Library, and they have basically all these books and puzzles and activity stuff out, and the kids get to go and pick what they want, and then mum has to come pay for it. And she said the number of kids that were just, mum's coming after school, but I've got all these things, and like big stacks of stuff. She's saying, you know, they'd get books and these $30 puzzles, and not just one, but multitudes of them. And when mum comes and sees these piles of stuff, what does she say? No, not having that, not having that. Oh, get that one. Oh, and not that, but that. You see, kids think they know what they want, but our father and our mother know exactly what we want. John Wesley, the Methodist preacher, said this: the chief thing wanting is a fit disposition on our part to receive his grace and blessing. Consequently, one great office of prayer is to produce such a disposition in us as to exercise our dependence on God, to increase our desire of the things that we ask for in line with his will, to us so sensible in our wanting that we will never cease wrestling till we've prevailed the blessing. C.S. Lewis says, I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, walking and sleeping. It doesn't change God, but it changes me. It changes our disposition. You know, sometimes it's hard to stand when you don't understand, and sometimes reality is different and we look for reasons in the midst of that. But Jesus says, when you pray, just come to me. Let it soak into your hearts. Let me be the one. Change your doubts into dependency and despondency into devotion. And listen to what 2 Corinthians 4:16, 18, and I'll finish with this. So just close your eyes and let this wash over your souls as you think about this and what it means for you, where you are today and where we are as a church. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that will outweigh all our struggles. So we fix our eyes not on the things that are seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And Father, that is our prayer today, that we will go to you for the things that we don't understand, that our prayers would be an act of worship, moving from independence to relying upon you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would lift our heart for prayer, particularly as we go into this season of determining and discerning your will for the church in the next steps. Lord, help us not to be negative, to be discouraged, but Lord, what are you showing us? What are the good things that are happening? What are the opportunities that you have for us? And how have you fitted us for this moment in history to be your kingdom people? But Lord, it starts with a conversation, a relationship, and worship with you. And so bless us today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.